Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. So hello, hello everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. I have the lovely Lauren. I am so excited to have you with us here today. So tell us a little bit about you, what it is that you do, and kind of what got you into your field.
Well, first of all, thank you for calling me lovely. I'm so happy to be here. I love that we met and like instantly really liked each other. And so
yes,
I'm so excited for this podcast. Thank you for having me here. So a little bit about me. I'm Lauren Lefkowitz. I'm an executive leadership coach, and I help people who are stuck, which is what most coaches do. My tagline is fine as a trap. And it is that because I have seen that we get into these cycles in our lives where we justify that things that aren't fine are fine, and we justify why. And so it's almost this like self-soother. It's fine. They pay me a lot of money. It's fine. This is what I've been working for. It's fine. I think this will get me a promotion. And we're really not fine. So I work with people to break the cycle of work, sleep, repeat, and help them figure out who they want to be when they grow up. And it's amazing. It's such an amazing job. And I can't believe I get to do this. I think I've talked to a bunch of people about this who've gotten into coaching, and it almost feels like we're cheating the system by being able to do something we love so freaking much. Mm-hmm. And so my backstory, though, is not so like amazing and full of joy, because I lived in the fine trap for a whole bunch of years. Most of my career I spent in human resources, which has a very serious side to it, and
yes,
a certain level of decorum and a lot of reactivity. And so I spent a lot of my career wishing I could get ahead of things and instead handling rules and issues and that sort of stuff. I actually loved it for about 15 of the 20 years I was doing it. And then I didn't love it anymore. And I was coaching on the side and been coaching on the side for years and years. And I finally realized that I should stop squeezing in what I want to do and actually go ahead and do it. And so that's what I do now. I'm a full-time coach and I love it. And not only do I get to help my clients figure out what they want to be when they grow up, but I'm also living it, which I think makes such a big difference.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that you say when you grow up, because I feel like we definitely get stuck in. I just saw a clip from a podcast the other day, and they were talking about this age definition, right? Like, okay, by your 30s, you're supposed to like have kids and a house and everything else, right? And by your 40s, you're supposed to be at a certain point. And at your 50s, you're supposed to be at a certain point. And I think that that stops us from being able to grow up, whatever that case may be. And it's funny because my husband is the opposite, which is one of the reasons why I love him, because every time that he turns a certain age, he's like, well, I don't know how to act this age. I've never been it before. excuse for not having to grow up. And his other saying is, well, if you don't grow up by 40, then you don't have to grow up at all. That's how that works. And I'm like, okay. So I love that you use that analogy of figuring out what we want to do when we grow up, because it does take away that stigmatism of trying to figure it out. You know, it's such a young age. And my oldest one is 18, and if you ask him what he wants to do, he still has like 15 ideas, right, of different directions that he wants to go, which is great. And I want to keep that dream alive, but it's so hard in a society where we are taught to choose one thing at such an early age and get into college and then live your life, right?
So true. And I had that when I graduated from college, I graduated with a psychology degree. I didn't want to be a psychologist. I just liked liberal arts. And I think we get out of high school and we do one of three things. We go to college, we go to a trade school, or we go to work.
Yeah.
And we're expected to know what we want to be for the rest of our lives at that age, which is insane. We're too young. There's too much opportunity. There's too much choice. We haven't fully formed. So we don't know who we are and how we are. And so I started out as an assistant in a meeting planning department. And then I was an accountant. And then I was in sales. And I was so lovely and so bad at sales that I got tapped on the shoulder to move into HR. And when I said, no, I really want to stick out sales. I want to be here for at least a year and prove that I can do it. The answer I got was, you're just not really made for sales. Why don't you think again about HR? And it was great that somebody was looking out for me and that I got into a career that I loved, but I just fell into it. I didn't even really know what HR was before I fell into it. Nobody in high school thinks I want to be on the back end of the business, managing operations and making sure we're legally sound and taking care of our employees.
Yeah, true.
Right. So I felt really lucky that I ended up in a career that I loved. And then when I fell out of love with it, I thought there was something wrong with me. I started looking for other jobs and they all look the same. And I thought, well, I may as well stay here because I've got, you know, human equity here. They know me, they trust me, I can do whatever I want. Meanwhile, I was working 80 to 100 hours a week. So the I can do whatever I want combined with what I was actually doing was totally not matching. But I think we get to this point, like you said, where we feel like we're supposed to be grown up, whether it's 25 or 30 or 40 or whatever it is, we assume that we get to an age where we should be stable and things should just be going on a single path. And that's not true. And so most of the people I work with come to me with, I've already been in marketing, sales, finance, HR, whatever, for all of these years, there's nothing else I can do without starting over. So we convince ourselves we have to just keep on the same path. Like that's what we chose. That's what we're stuck with.
Yeah. So how would you help someone kind of pick that apart in the beginning then, especially if they've done several different things and they feel like there's no other direction for them to go, they've kind of hit the ceiling. Well, how would you have that conversation? How would you help them look, you know, inward?
Yeah. The first thing is to let them know that it's okay to ask for help. That's another thing that as grown-ups, whatever level of grown-up we are, we think we're not allowed to ask for help anymore. We think it's our job to help others.
Yeah.
Most of the people that I work with have come to me because they're high achievers, they're people pleasers, they're not great at boundaries. And so they do a lot of everything for everyone else and they're good at work. Whatever you ask them to do, they can do. Whatever problem you ask them to solve, they can solve. And then they assume they have to solve their own problems. And before I did my own work, I felt the same way. That I can do anything for anyone. I worked in HR, I interim managed six different departments. There was a problem, I solved it. So if I looked at myself and I couldn't solve my own problems, there must be something either wrong with me, and I don't want to tell anybody about that, or there must not be another choice. Because if there was, I would have thought of it. So when my clients come to me, we have that conversation. That's not true. It's a story we make up about ourselves. It's a story we make up about expectations. We do not have the ability to be objective about ourselves in our growth, in our development, in possibility, in what's potentially out there for us. We need support. So the first thing to work on is receiving support. And then we can start talking about clearing all the cobwebs out of our head, right? There's there's a lot of, well, I'd like to do this, but I can't because. So we get all of those buts out of the way. What do you not want anymore is really the first step. Then you can talk about what you want and we can take out all the buts because you've already eliminated them. And then we can start deciding what you want, what you've got already in your arsenal that's transferable and how to get from point A to point B. A lot of times people have picked up what they actually want to do as like a side hobby in their company. And so I've had clients who write for the blog in their company, or they take on a marketing project every once in a while. And that is expertise. And even if it's only 10% of your job, you can make that your whole resume. You've got the experience. You've been doing that work. And there are all different kinds of ways to get into a new career, start your own business if that's what you want to do. In a lot of cases, though, people actually like what they're doing, but they're too low level. And so they're a manager and they should be a vice president. They're reporting to someone who they know way more than. And it's gaining that confidence to go for the next level or two levels up to ask for the money that you actually deserve. And it's imposter syndrome, right? Gets in the way.
Yeah.
Less like, stay small. This is not for you. You're not big enough for this. So there's a lot of confidence work that goes in with my clients as well.
I love that. And I think that that's a huge piece, you know, regardless of what you're doing in life. I mean, that confidence even comes into play when you are talking, you know, relationship wise, or needing to do something different with how you're dealing with your children, right? It still takes that confidence, or what I like to call that courage, to get you to that point to have that conversation, right? To make it come out. And it's funny because I've been watching, a lot of Mel Robbins lately. And one of the things that she said that she uses a lot is when she's scared of something, or when she knows she needs to do something, but there's that hesitation, she counts down from five, five, four, three, two, one, and then just does it. And I'm like, oh, like, but it makes so much sense, right? Because it does kind of stop that thought pattern, like in its tracks, for you to disrupt it. And then it makes it a little bit easier to start to change it, to move forward.
Yeah. I also love how she talks about that 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 in really small steps, right? So it's not 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go on an hour long walk. It's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, put on your socks.
Yeah.
It's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, put on your shoes. So the breaking it down into steps, as small as they may be, whether it's a five minute coffee in your bathroom, because that's the only place where you get private time in the morning, or whether it's working up to an hour of reading at night, or whether it's working up to say no to something at work. It's not about today you come to me, we start working together. Tomorrow you go in and you say, it's all over for all of you here. Everything's very different now. I'm changing it. It's incremental. And I love that about Mel Robbins, that she really breaks it down. You don't have to go from 0 to 100 in 1 second.
Yeah.
It's getting started. It's making moves.
Yeah, for sure. And then it's funny too, because that's actually one thing that I really work on with any of my clients as well, when it comes to building new habits is, and it's something I had a conversation with a friend the other day. I said, you know, it's great that you want to do all of these things, but here's what's going to happen. You can try to put all these things into place, but because you're making such a dramatic change in so many areas, you might do great for a week, maybe two, right? And then all of a sudden, like, everything falls apart and you go right back to what you were doing before. And you're like, what the hell just happened? Mm-hmm. And it has nothing. It's nothing to do with you. It's not that you're not disciplined. It's not that you can't be consistent. It's because you made so many changes in such a short time that your brain was literally like, okay, we don't like this, so we're going to shut everything down. Versus, like you were saying, having those small pieces that you start implementing and use that to make that part of a habit, and then bring in the next piece and the next piece to build it into a new daily habit or something you do weekly, or whatever the case may be. But it's funny because I was just talking with another lady about this as well, is we get so stuck on looking at the huge things in our life, right? And so, like, all the posts right now that are going out is, oh, what did you do in 2022? That was just fantastic. So everybody's trying to think of these really big goals and everything that they've accomplished. And unfortunately for people that, let's say, they didn't necessarily have a crappy year, but it wasn't fantastic, and they don't have huge goals to celebrate, are now feeling like crap because they're like, well, I didn't really have that great of a year then, right? Instead of them being able to look at and say, well, I mean, I at least launched my business and I'm doing it on the side, right? Or I at least had that conversation with my boss and I have the ability to possibly move up 6 months down the road, right? Because to us, that's such a small thing. And when everybody's like, oh, what was your big accomplishments? We don't see that.
We don't see behind the screen, right? There's a lot going on. And no matter what you're bragging about, everybody's had something hard during the year. Some people more than others. Some people have an easier time highlighting the things that went well than others. There are some people who really have a hard time not focusing on what went wrong. And some people had a terrible year and they're making stuff up and saying that all this crazy stuff went well. So we have to take the lens when we're looking at other people's screens and other people's social media, and especially at the turn of the year when there's so much pressure to have gotten the previous year right and to be fixing everything that's wrong with you in the new year. So, you know, the grocery store shelves are empty of oat milk right now and the gym parking lots are super full and, you know, you get 3 months into the year and everything's now overstocked. That's healthy because people are back to their regular habits and people are gone from the gym and Netflix watching is back up again. And it's not about big sweeping changes. They're not sustainable, right? If you think about going on vacation, vacation's awesome. Usually, sometimes if your kids are too little, a lot of watching them extra, it's not quite as relaxing, but vacation typically is fun. You go, you do a whole bunch of things. You come home and you are freaking exhausted because you can't sustain vacation mode. You also can't sustain new me mode.
True.
You have to start small. You have to incorporate things into your day, into your week, into your mindset, so that they become habits, so that you can then grow those habits. So when I was starting my journey of being coached, I wanted to find time to read. That was something that I couldn't figure out where to fit in because I was working from, you know, daybreak to sometimes midnight. And I was talking to my own coach and I said, I want to read for an hour a day. And she said, great, when do you have an hour? And I was like, never, you know, for me. And what we discovered was, I'm a person who lives with chronic illness. And sometimes often it makes me very fatigued. And so mornings were particularly hard for me. And I was in a phase where mornings had gotten easier, but I hadn't changed my habits. So my old routine had been, I get up in the morning and I spend a bunch of time on the couch with my coffee and my dog, just sort of getting ready to get ready for the day. And what I recognized during my conversation with my coach was that my mornings were actually a little bit easier. So 15 minutes of the morning, I would spend reading. And it took me a week or two to get into the habit of 15 minutes, but 15 minutes was so doable. That's not an hour. That's not find a chunk of time where you have no interruptions.
Yeah.
And it gave me a habit. And then I built up to 20 minutes and then I built up to 30. If I had built myself up to an hour right away, which by the way, I never got to, but if I had built myself up to an hour right away, I would have done it for 2 days. I would have been overwhelmed by it and I would have stopped. Yeah. What I learned was that I could do it in bits and pieces. I did have a client who took 5 minutes in the bathroom, in the shower with the shower curtain closed, drinking her coffee so she could have her lunch, which she then worked up to 15 minutes on the porch. But she couldn't start with 15 minutes on the porch. The kids didn't understand. Her husband was busy in the morning too. And, but as she worked up to it and as they recognized that the 5 minutes was good for her, it became 10. And then it became, okay, I'm not going to drink my coffee in the bathroom anymore. I'm going to go outside. We're going to set some limits with the kids. But it's about building it slowly. It's about giving yourself the grace to say, I'm starting, I'm a beginner. Even though I'm an adult, even though I'm good at all of this other stuff, even though when an emergency gets thrown at me, I just freaking handle it. I'm a beginner with myself because we are not taught to take care of ourselves. We are not taught to look out for ourselves. As kids, we're taught to share, to be kind, to give, to volunteer, to help the family, to do well in school so that we can then help some group of people when we're grown up. There's no point in time where we learn about self-care.
No, that's very true. And I think that that is a huge missing piece in our society. And even though I feel like I'm starting to see it a little bit more, people are not understanding what self-care can mean for them either, right? Like you were saying, self-care for your one client, it was just 5 minutes in the bathroom with coffee. You know, everybody, again, they go for those bigger goals, right? So they're like, oh, self-care, I should have an afternoon to myself. And then they take that afternoon and then they're pissed at themselves because they took that afternoon and I could have been doing other things and I could have been getting this done. And now I don't have that done. So now I'm going to be behind for tomorrow. Well, you just ruined the whole freaking definition of self-care. But you could do something small, like you were saying. One of the things that I started with to get myself out of the quote unquote workaholic habit, which was always having to have something on my calendar, was, especially when it got close to lunchtime, if I was feeling overwhelmed or like I had done a lot and I needed a break from my computer or from the conversations or whatever the case may be, I went outside. I would go sit outside in my backyard, especially if the sun was out. That's my safe space. but I would sit outside about 15, 20 minutes, right? No phone, nothing, just sitting there with myself, listening to everything around me, taking in all of the feelings, all of the noise that was going on, and just being in that moment. But being able to do that, I've noticed that it's now kind of like the first thing that I go to when I'm stressed or when I have a lot going on. And so instead of this feeling of, oh my God, there's so much I can't, and shutting down, I'm like, I need to go for a walk, right? Or I need to go be alone. I'm going to go burn a candle, burn some sage, sit for 10 minutes by myself. But I realized that now it's just a habit, right? It's just something that my brain goes to when I start to feel overwhelmed or stressed or irritated versus sitting in that emotion at that moment.
You just brought up such a good point, which is being. We have a habit in our lives of doing. We are doers who are doing things so that things will be done so we can do more things.
Yeah.
When you talked about going outside and being in the sun and listening to the sounds and feeling the air, all of that is so being oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important to have that distinction and to understand it, because you and I could do the same thing. I could go out and sit in the sun also. And if I'm sitting in the sun and thinking about how many minutes I've been sitting in the sun, how much time I'm wasting, how much work I have to do, who I have to call back, which bill I haven't paid, which kid needs whatever, the dog needs this, I haven't gotten enough sleep. We're doing the same thing. You're going to come in refreshed and I'm going to come in even more stressed out.
Yeah.
So the way that we be, which is poor grammar, but the way that we be is so important. It's that mindset shift from going through the motions of doing to actually focusing on how we want things to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. And thank you for bringing that up and catching that as well, because it is something that I had to be taught by my mentor, because I did come from the corporate world. And in the corporate world, I got bored when I knew what I was doing, right? And it became a habit. So I was always looking for more things to do and more things to do. And if I wasn't constantly doing something, I felt like I wasn't enough. I felt like I was slacking. I was being lazy. And it's interesting, because one of the first things that she said to me when I kept hitting this in my business, when I was trying to build, she said, well, define what a lazy person is. And so I kind of went through a couple of things. I'm like, oh, you know, they don't do anything, right? They keep putting things off. They're sitting on the couch. They're, you know, and she's like, and are you doing that? I was like, no. She said, have you ever been a lazy person? And I'm like, well, no, that's not who I am. She said, well, then why do you think that all of a sudden you're going to be one now then? And it was interesting, because it was like that piece clicked for me. And I was like, oh, I guess I never have done that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Right. So it was a little bit easier to accept that and then work on every time that I did hear that in my head, be like, oh, no, wait a minute. I had this conversation already. Remember? I talk to myself a lot, y'all. But it was easier for me to be like, no, I'm not a lazy, but remember, I defined that. That's not what I do. I never have. Oh, I never will be then. That's just not who I am. So it was a lot easier to break that cycle, which then actually made it easier to be able to step away for 5 minutes without hating myself or being frustrated, right? But a lot of that, it does come down to that mindset piece, those limiting beliefs, the beliefs that we put on ourselves that are others. We are amazing at taking other people's words and turning it into a truth that we then internalize.
Absolutely. We have a bunch of inside voices that tell us what to do. And their aim is to protect us, right? Your inner lazy bones doesn't want you to get caught sitting on the couch because you feel like you'll get in trouble for being lazy. Your body needs you to sit on the couch once in a while. Your brain, your heart needs you to sit on the couch once in a while. It doesn't make you lazy, but we grew up. I think anybody after the baby boomer generation, I'm a Gen Xer, but I think Gen Xers and forward grew up with activities. We had religious school, we had sports, we had art classes, we had music classes, we had clubs, yeah. we had after school stuff. Some of us had before school stuff. And so we were busy. There was no time to be lazy. And if you were watching TV, you were probably also coloring or doing a puzzle or playing a board game. And if you were listening to music, you were probably also doing your homework. We were multitasking.
Yeah.
And then we grow up and our bodies and our brains get tired. And we think that sitting on the couch, that wasting time, and I put that in air quotes, is wasting time.
Yeah.
But it's actually refreshing and rejuvenating and restorative to rest. We don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. I legitimately had to learn how to rest. And again, as a person with chronic illness, I like to nap. And sometimes I need a nap in the middle of the day. And my brain was always yelling at me. I had the internal voice of laziness telling me, you can't nap. That's weak. You're a grown-up. Three-year-olds nap. You don't need to nap. You know, suck it up and just get back to work.
Yeah.
I have learned that just there are some days when my body needs rest and my body needs a nap. And now, instead of saying, oh, I'm so annoyed that I need a nap. This is so annoying. This is, you know, I'm giving up. Now I think to myself, I'm doing what I need to do to take care of myself. My body needs a nap. And after this nap, I will feel better and I will be able to do more and I will be happier and I will feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can shift that mindset from defeat, which often people with chronic illness feel like they're in this state of constant defeat, and it still comes up for me. I didn't like perfect the being kind to myself piece of it. But if you are able to more often say, I'm taking this nap so that I can rest and so that my body can be restored and so that I can wake up feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much healthier. It's part of that being. It is so much healthier than saying like, I have to take a nap. It's so weak. It's so boring.
Yeah.
It shifts you. It changes you and it helps you feel like you're being productive. And then you can tell that inner voice, I'm choosing to take a nap. Go sit down, lazy voice. I'm taking a nap.
I love that. And it is that internal dialogue that we fight with so much on so many levels. Like that's what keeps people in a job that they don't like, right? That's what keeps people from taking their career where they need to. That's what keeps people that want to be entrepreneurs from being successful, whatever that definition is for them, right? That's what gets us stuck is in that inner dialogue. And when we can learn to be curious about it and accept that, hey, what I'm doing isn't something that I do all the time. I'm not constantly wasting time. My body actually I feel lethargic. I feel fatigued. That's a totally different way of having a conversation, but it's also good to pay attention to what you are doing in your downtime, right? Like for me in the beginning, when I first started with downtime, I was like, okay, so in the evenings, I watch some TV. Cool. Like that's my downtime. I'm not on my phone. But what I realized was a lot of the TV that I was watching for a long time was drama inflicted, right? I watched a lot of stuff that there was constantly problems going on in other people's stuff in the show. And so it wasn't necessarily relaxing, right? Because then I'm like constantly involved in somebody else's drama. And even though it's a TV show, and I know I'm not the only one, whoever yells at the TV and is like, don't do that. You know better. Why are you sitting? Right? So we get into that state of being involved in it. So it's kind of, to be honest, in my opinion, it's kind of like your circle, right? If your circle of people are constantly being full of drama and not positive and anything like that, you're going to reflect that in your life. It's the same thing when you have downtime, right? If you're constantly, and I'm not saying I don't enjoy a good thriller and stuff, believe me, I still have my movie days. But if you're constantly using that as your downtime, you're still inviting that into your life all the time. So I trade things out. There are a lot of times where I love history. I love cultures. So I drive my poor husband mad. I am constantly watching ruins that are in the world and abandoned buildings or discovery places from an explorer that I love that kind of stuff. I love to learn about places that eventually one day I'll visit, right? That's what I want to do. And so I use that. But there are some times where I'm like, I really don't feel like that. I just want to like watch some people fall off some stuff and laugh at it. But I did have to change some of the things that I was doing when I did have my downtime, because what I realized was when I went to bed, instead of feeling rested or like, okay, I'm chill, right? I was like running the scenario through my head. Well, I wonder what's going to happen this time. I wonder what's going to happen when they do this. Well, what if she decides to do this? Is she, right? So then again, it's like having a conversation with your friends. You get stuck in that dialogue and then your brain isn't actually resting. You just pushed it onto something else. Yeah. To focus it on. So I think that that's a really important piece for people to understand as well, is to be mindful of how you are having your downtime. And I'm sorry, but mindlessly scrolling through Facebook and getting pissed off at people on there for what they're commenting does not count as downtime. Just going to put that out there. That does not count as downtime.
It's about choice, right? If you are choosing to sit down and watch TV and you're like, I'm going to watch 8 episodes of the whole season of whatever it is, that's what I'm choosing to do with my time today. And you get your cozy blanket and your cup of tea or coffee, and you have popcorn or whatever it is, and you're choosing this comfy, cozy day. Powerful. Mm-hmm. If you get out of bed in the morning and you think, I don't know what to do today, I have so much on my plate, I'm overwhelmed, I'm just going to sit down and watch TV for a little while. And then Netflix asks you if you're still watching and you get offended, right? And yes, I'm still watching. Don't ask me again. It's the difference between choosing your day and numbing your day. And so many of us spend our time, and I've done it. I still do it sometimes, where we spend our time and our energy scrolling, doom scrolling, or watching TV or clicking, yes, I'm still watching, because we cannot get ourselves to do something else. That is numbing. That is the less healthy way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need a day where you're just like, I'm wallowing today. I don't feel well. I don't feel happy. Everything's overwhelming. I'm just gonna wallow. Again, if you're choosing it, it's powerful. If you're just sort of mindlessly avoiding everything else and instead scrolling or watching TV or whatever it is that you're doing, that's going to destroy you eventually. Yeah. And that's often when people come to me to start working with me, is they're like, I'm at my breaking point. I'm either working so hard and so frivolous, or not frivolously, furiously. No brain. I'm working so furiously. I'm working in a panic. I'm trying to get everything done. I'm trying to please everybody, and I'm exhausted. So they're either coming to me there, or they've gone over that edge and they've burnt out completely and they can't get anything done. And they just are sitting in front of the TV or are doom scrolling. And for both sides of that spectrum, you are not a broken person. you are just in the wrong space. You're in the wrong mindset for yourself. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing to correct. There's no checklist to go through to make everything work. It's about giving yourself the time and space and energy. And I know you've done that, Kat, and I've done that. And look at where it's gotten us. And it's not like our lives are perfect and we've figured everything out.
Oh, for sure not.
I don't only talk about the pretty stuff in my life, but we both have done the work on ourselves, on our situations, on our mindsets, to understand that we get to be considered. Mm-hmm. That's what so many of us are missing. And that's what I did for so many years. I looked out for everybody else. I made sure everybody and everything was taken care of except for me.
Yeah.
And while it didn't cause my chronic illness, it made me sicker. It made me more tired. It increased my migraines. It decreased my joy. And it decreased my capacity to be present in places. Every meeting I was in, I was thinking about the next meeting. If I went out with a friend, I was thinking about what work I had to do when I got home. If I had plans with a friend and I was working, I was worrying I wasn't going to make it to that friend. So my head was always in a different place than I was. And if you can learn to be present with yourself, you start to be present in your situations.
I absolutely love that. And that's so true on so many levels. And I know that, you know, a lot of people that do that, where we just go through the motions, right? And it's definitely something that we want to work on, is being more present in that moment. So I want to end with that, because I think that that was just like a fantastic piece right there. So Lauren, I always love to end on a note of positivity or something that you can give to the audience. So do you have a quote, a saying, something that you find yourself going to that other people can use?
I do. And in fact, I keep it in front of me. I'm so glad you asked. It's a long quote, so I don't have it memorized, but it's by Emily Maritain. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing her name right, but she writes books that are full of just positivity and normalizing all of the things that we think are weird about us. But her quote is, "You're not stuck. You're just committed to patterns of behavior because they helped you in the past. Now these behaviors have become more harmful than helpful. And the reason why you can't move forward is because you keep applying an old formula to a new level in your life. Change the formula to get a different result." That's what we have the ability to do. We have the ability to stop doing things the way we've always done them, because that's the way we've always done them. And we don't have to do it ourselves. We have the opportunity to choose to get support and to get help and to look at our life in a whole new way and grow up however we want to grow up.
Whatever we choose to, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I absolutely love that. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. This was a fantastic conversation. I love deep diving into things like this. So tell everybody, how can they connect with you? Where can they find you? And if they want to work with you, how can they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So the easiest way to find me, because my last name gets misspelled everywhere, is fineisatrap.com. And if you go to fineisatrap.com, you can get a free tool, which is a fine is a trap inventory. So you can see where you are and what's fine in your life, what's great, and what needs to change. You can also find me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and on my podcast, which is called I Could Talk to You All Day. It's a leadership podcast with my friend and fellow coach, John Spears. And we talk about real, raw, vulnerable, real talk leadership stuff.
It was such
a pleasure to be with you, Kat. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And to everybody else, I hope you were taking notes, because this is fantastic. It's also a great way for you to start your new year off, especially with everyone looking to add new habits and do certain things in their life. Remember that adding small tidbits is going to help implement and keep those pieces in motion as you change, versus trying to just overhaul your entire life. So to everyone that has been a part of the podcast today, thank you so much. I cannot wait to see you guys into the next episode. And don't forget, do one thing positive for somebody else each and every day, and you will be amazed at the change that it makes in your life. So until next time, Have a fantastic day.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode, and until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.